So I'm a postdoc with University College Dublin. I'd firstly like to thank all my co-supervisors and the Environmental Protection Agency in Ireland for funding. We're part of the Agri Benchmark project. So we're benchmarking farm gate NMP balances and use efficiencies on Irish farms to encourage improvements. But to give a context, Ireland is currently experiencing agricultural intensification, particularly in the dairy sector, following government initiatives and the abolition of milk quotas in 2015. There's a challenge of achieving sustainable intensification whilst minimising NMP losses and meeting EU Nitrates Directive water quality obligations and greenhouse gas emissions. So reducing nutrient surpluses and inefficiencies are critical for reducing diffuse pollution risk. And derogation is at stake. What do I mean by derogation? So the Water Framework Nitrates Directive currently allows farms to operate above statutory limits of 170 kilograms per hectare of organic nitrogen, which is approximately around 2 dairy cows, if you have a derogation. However, if we breach Water Framework Directive targets, we could lose that status, which would severely hinder national policy aims. So improving nutrient management is key to sustainable intensification. And this derogation status is at stake. In the Netherlands, they are culling some of the dairy herds because they've operated above, not met water quality targets because of their intensive dairy herd. So derogation is at stake here. So background to nutrient counts before we go into the benchmarking. Essentially, we use farm gate NMP balances. So we look at the imports going through the farm gate in terms of livestock, fertilizer, chemical fertilizer, feed, and concentrates, and forage crops, and then look at the exports of milk, wool, crops and livestock, and look at the balances. So the nutrient balance is imports minus exports, whilst nutrient use efficiency is exports divided by imports. So the data we're using is from the Chagas National Farm Survey, which is part of the EU Farm Accountability Data Network. We use 1,215 nationally representative beef and dairy farms, which collect annual import and export data from 2008 to 2015, and we use nutrient coefficients to calculate the NMP going in and out of the farm from that data. And so it's a total of 5,985 data points. We split the data sets into farm categories of sector, so dairy, mixed livestock, which is dairy and another livestock type, such as suckler or non-suckler cattle or sheep. We have suckler cattle, which is essentially weaning livestock, and then non-suckler cattle, so they've been weaned. And we also look at production intensity. So what I mean by that is the total NRP exports in kilograms per hectare. So just a brief overview of the nutrient balances and use efficiencies from 2008 to 2015 for each sector. I should point out that these are predominantly, the sector is the predominant livestock type, but in Ireland there can be a less dominant type within the farm as well. And Ireland, just to give a background for those who don't know, it's a grassland temperate based livestock system, so it's kind of low input, low output, relative to the US at least. So for N balances, there tends to be an increase in surpluses, particularly for dairy and mixed livestock. Mixed livestock is usually predominantly dairy within that. And for the end use efficiencies, the trends tend to be cyclic, but really there's no upward or downward trend. For P balances, the trends are increasing over that time period, and P use efficiencies tend to be decreasing for all sectors. So when we split up into the imports and exports and the different components. So imports are at the top and exports are at the bottom. So you look at the total imports, they tend to be increasing, and the total exports tend to be increasing for dairy and mixed livestock. I should point out the drop in the 2014 and 15 years for mixed livestock are due to, because of the dairy intensification, that sector was, a lot of those data points were reclassified as dairy from 2014-15 as farmers tended to increase their dairy component of their herd. So it's not due to actual lower kind of total N imports and exports of the sample. So when you look at the components of the imports and exports, fertiliser imports are key to the driving the total N import increases. If you look at the quantities involved compared to concentrates, forage crops and livestock imports, fertiliser imports are the main imports involved. And for N exports, for dairy and mixed livestock, you see the increase in milk exports, as particularly in 2015 as the abolition of milk quotas occurs in Ireland, and and livestock exports tended to be relatively stable except for so pea imports and exports show a similar picture. Dairy, just like N, tends to have the highest imports of pea and N, followed by mixed livestock, and then non-suckler cattle third, and suckler cattle fourth. So, just summary statistics before I go into the benchmarking. So, dairy has the highest N and P surpluses. However, they weren't the worst sector of these four in terms of use efficiencies. Suckler cattle had, in red, had the worst the lowest use efficiencies for both N and P, although their surpluses were relatively low, surplus balances. So now we're into the actual benchmarking approach. We need nationally representative benchmarking to set targets and motivate improvements in nutrient management. So benchmark farms, i.e. top performers, were identified as those with the lowest nutrient surpluses for each level of production intensity and the highest nutrient use efficiencies and gross margins, because we need to identify benchmark farms that are economically sustainable, i.e. profitable. So to benchmark, we use quantile regression analysis in R, which essentially it fits a percentile regression line to a relationship. So we use the relationship between the total N or P exports on the x-axis in kilograms per hectare and the NOP balance in kilograms per hectare on the y-axis. Before I show you that, I just want to show you the relationship between the total N exports or PN exports and the N balance on the y-axis. So a farm gate balance would be at zero, indicated by the pink line. As you see, as the total exports increase, the surpluses tend to increase. And we color-code data points according to gross margin in euros per hectare. So the more profitable farms have the higher total exports relative to lower production intensity farms. So that's for N, this is for P. And as you see for the P data points in Ireland, many farms have P deficits. As you can see, lots of these data points are below a farm gate P balance of zero. So they're in classed as in P deficits. So we need to benchmark farms that are sustainable in the long run. So we need to remove those farms that are below a farm gate P or N balance before we benchmark. In the short term, farms may legitimately need deficits in order to mine soil nutrient reserves if they're above agronomic optimum. However, in the long term for benchmarking, we need to identify sustainable farms in the long term. So also we need to consider which what relates, which balances relate to agonometry optimums or P levels. So we did a literature review in Ireland, and essentially you see the data points for each study, the farm gate P balance along the x-axis, and soil Morgan P concentration, which is the Irish soil test P used in Ireland, across the y-axis. And we looked at the relationship and worked out that a range between 1.5 to 4.5 kilograms of P per hectare surplus relates to an agronomically optimal soil P balance in the long term. Also, we need to account for livestock dietary requirements. So for dairy cows, you can reduce your P inputs and an optimum livestock P balance. An optimum P balance for livestock dietary P requirements is around 2.7 kilograms P per hectare for Bailey 2016 in Northern Ireland study. Offsetting environmental P losses. So in Ireland, it tends to be less than 1 kilogram of P per hectare, even in poorly drained catchments. And also we need to identify benchmark farms that meet EU stocking density requirements, so they don't exceed 250 kilograms organic nitrogen per hectare. So we remove farms that don't meet that requirement. So this is the approach to our benchmarking. So we fit quantile regression lines. So essentially the top line here is the worst 10th percentile. So any data point above this line are the worst 10% performing farms in terms of their N surpluses for each level of production intensity or total N exports. So we do this Q10, Q25, all the way to Q90. So any data point below the Q90 line are the top 10% performing farms, i.e. they have the low, they are the 10% farms with the lowest N surpluses for a given production intensity. What we can do is also look at potential policies in terms of setting maximum permitted farm gate NLP surpluses. It's currently in the EU for some countries they have flat rates, but it doesn't consider production intensity of the farm. So what we can do is we can start to use these regression lines so that you can maybe set at the Q10 or even Q25 line and say any farm that's above that line has excessive N balances or P balances, as I'll show you later on, and they must reduce their surplus to below that maximum permitted surplus line. We can also identify the optimal benchmark zone. So these are farms with low surpluses and high gross margins, indicated in blue or dark green colour coded data points. And if you, for example, if your farm, say here, circled in purple, to reach, you can set benchmark farm-specific benchmark targets, because some farms will not be able to meet this optimal benchmark zone due to environmental factors or factors outside the farmer's control. So it may be more reasonable and practical for farm-specific benchmark targets where they meet. They try to reach the next lowest quantile regression line. So for example, this farm circled in purple, he has three options. He can either reduce his surpluses whilst maintaining his total exports. He can either increase his exports until he reaches the next zone whilst maintaining his surplus, or he can do both. So these are for the four benchmarking for four sectors: dairy, mixed livestock, suckler cattle, and non-suckler cattle, and for the regression quantile regression lines for each sector, and the same for P. So we removed all data points below 3 kilograms per hectare surplus for P. Once we accounted for those different factors that I mentioned earlier. For N, we removed all data points below 0 kilograms N per hectare. We can't consider things like variable environmental losses, N mineralization, atmospheric deposition, because they are variable and the data is not available for the National Farm Survey farms that we use. unfortunately, but that's kind of a more modelling approach that we could consider in the future. So also we have to explain the benchmark performance. So why farms in the optimal benchmark zone that are below the Q75 line that have the high gross margins in blue or dark green, why they are performing the way they do. So we look at the characteristics for each zone. So for example, the worst performers in red are any farm with a N balance percentile of 91 to 100. So the highest 10%, the farm 10% of farms with the highest N surpluses here, with any gross margin. So all this sector here. And then the below average would be this zone here, all the way to the benchmark zone down below the Q90 line, and then the optimal benchmark zone, which is just considering the high gross margin farms. And what you see is the surpluses tend to be are lower for the benchmark farms, and nitrogen use efficiencies are higher. But the total imports are relatively low compared to in kilograms per hectare compared to poor performing farms, but the exports are higher. I prefer to use median values rather than mean because of the extreme farm situations. The utilised agricultural area, so the actual size in hectares of the farm, tends to be slightly lower for the benchmark zone farms, but their stocking densities are higher at 2.1. And if you look at the derogation status, so one is yes and two is no, optimal farms tend to be closer to or in derogation status. Then you look at the gross margins, you look at the imports and exports components. The fertilizer tends to be lower for benchmark farms. Concentrates tend to be in the middle. But then the exports tend to be a lot higher, so the use efficiencies in terms of converting nutrients to agricultural products is much higher for benchmarks. And then finally, economic performance for collisions. So the benchmark farms tend to have much higher gross margins. Their fertilizer costs per hectare are relatively good, and you can see in the slides online at your leisure kind of the other variables. So in conclusions, trends, N and P balances tend to be increasing. P use efficiency tends to be decreasing. And dairy has the highest surpluses, while suckler cattle has the lowest use efficiencies. So aiming for a farm gate balance of zero, which is kind of assumed to be optimum for in terms of environment and profitability, is actually not sustainable. So using this kind of benchmarking approach is a more appropriate measure. And agricultural intensification tends to increase surpluses, use efficiencies and gross margins, but importantly, benchmark farms can reduce surpluses to relatively low levels, i.e. they are more sustainable. And there's a large range in balances for the same production intensity, so it shows room for improvements, and policymakers could use the approach to set maximum permitted surpluses. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jan. Let's give a round of applause to you.